Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Eruvin Daf Yud Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you would like to be in touch with us, our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the top of Daf Yud Dalid, but before we begin the Gemara, we glance at the side where we have our topic heading, the Nosei. There we have written, Midas Roichav Akira Mahu. What is the expected width of the Korah? Granted, the Mishnah said that it must be wide enough to hold an Ariach that is a Tefach and a half, and that being said, the Korah should be one Tefach wide. The other issue the Gemara will deal with is Chozek, the strength of the Korah. We will deal with the strength of the beam itself, and the strength needed to be in the what's called ma'amideha, the prongs or pegs that hold the korah in place. So we open up with a quote from the Mishnah, essentially one word, tefach. The Mishnah had said that the korah must be a tefach wide, but the Mishnah had said that on the heels of describing the korah as being able to hold a brick that measures 1.5 tefachim. You'll notice the arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. This helps you find where on Daf Yud Gimel the tefach word was found. So the Gemara asks, tefach umechza boy. You should really have a korah, a beam, 1.5 tefachim wide, after you asserted that it must be capable of holding a brick 1.5 tefachs in width. So the Gemara answers, Kevon derochav lekabel tefach, once the beam is wide enough to hold a tefach, ido chatzi tefach, the balance of that brick, the extra half tefach, Malbin le betino, mashu mehai gisa, umashu mehai gisa, vekaimo. There's an illustration, 174, which is found on page 28 of the Pirush Chai. This shows you how the brick, which is noted as Aleph, sitting on top of the beam noted as Beis, the protrusions or overhangs or extensions width-wise of the brick can be cemented into place. In other words, you can pack that, the angle formed by the excess section of Aleph over the base on both sides, you pack it in with some cement, and the brick will stay in place, will hold in place, so that it really is sufficient to have a beam one tefach in width. The Gemara continues, Omar Rabo Bar Ravuna. Now, we've noted a number one indicating that there's going to be an alternative opinion a few lines later in the form of Rav Chista. So he says, Korah She'omru, the Korah that we've spoken about, and we've noted the Korah with an Aleph because we want to compare this to Ma'amidei Korah, which we'll note as Beis. So the Korah She'omru, Tzrichoshte Bria Kedei Lekabil Oriach. The Korah has to be bria, strong enough to hold a brick on it. Umamidei Korah, the pegs or the hooks that hold the Korah in place, you can see they're illustrated in illustration 175. Einon tzrichen shiu brian kedei lekabel Korah ve'ariach. They don't have to be strong enough to hold the Korah with a brick on it. In other words, they have to be strong enough, as Rashi says, just to hold the Korah in place. The brick is basically to give you a size. However, as far as the korah itself is concerned, if you were to place a brick on it while, let's say, holding it in your hands, the korah should be strong enough to hold the brick. Rav Chista Omar, echod zeh ve'echod zeh, the korah and the ma'amidim, tzrichun shibriim kedei lekabel korah v'riach. In other words, it has to be not only the beam, but the pegs holding up the beam have to be strong enough to hold the korah and the brick. Omar of Sheshes, picture 176. You'll notice there is a korah across a Movui entrance, but a mat has been placed over it, extending downwards almost to the ground, but three tfachim above, leaving a space, a gap of three tfachim above. So, Omar of Sheshes, Hiniach Koro al Gabi Movui, he placed his beam across the alley, Uporasolo Machzeles, and spread across it a mat, Vigbiya Minakarka Shlosha, and allowed a height of three tfachim, or a gap of three tfachim above the ground to remain. Koro Einkan Mechitza Einkan. You lose, ironically, you lose everything. There's no Kora, in other words, the Korah effectiveness is neutralized, and Mechitza Einkan, it doesn't function as a wall either. Korah Einkan, Doho Michsi. The Korah, which is supposed to serve as a point of recognition, isn't here because you don't see it, it's covered. Mechitza Einkan, as far as this setup to serve as a wall, also you don't have, because Dehavya lo mechitza shagdoyim boikin bo. It's a mechitza that the gedoyim, are the goats, the kids, can penetrate. Boikin is to penetrate. They can walk under it, and hence it is it's ineffective as a wall, and therefore it doesn't serve to matir this movui. The movui then would remain usur to carry in. As we continue in the Gemara, we see a long Tanaic source, and we also have a little introduction on the side under the Nosei heading. We've written Shnei Koros Shemitzdarfos L'Shiur Korah, two Korah pieces, parts of Korah that can join up to fulfill the role of a complete Korah. Tanu Rabbanan. Now, this source, we've broken it down into different parts using encircled Roman numerals. You have one, halfway down you can see a number two, and then a number three. Under each section, so there are subcategories that will be noted, Aleph and Beis, etc. We begin. Tanu Rabbanan, Tkura Hayoitza Mikoisel Zev Eino Negas Bekoisel Zev. Illustration 97, you can see there's a korah that starts from one wall, but it doesn't quite reach the next wall. So, and that, by the way, is at the on page 17. The next illustration. Illustration 177. V'chein shtei koros, achas yoytze mikoysel zeh, v'achas yoytze mikoysel zeh, v'einon noigoys zu bezu. So you have two scenarios here of something that's incomplete. So the resolution, or the effectiveness, is dependent. Pochos mishloisha ein tzorch lo v'koracheres. If the gap in question is less than three tvachim, it's kosher as it is, based on the principle of lovud. Lovud means that it's considered attached as long as it's within three tvachim, three hand breaths. Shloisha, however, if the gap is three tvachim, then tzorch lahavi koracheres. You'd have to bring an extra korah, an extra piece. That's illustrated in picture 177, where you see the aleph. In other words, you'd have to bring another piece, or a brand new solid Korah. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, a second opinion. Pachos mi arba ein tzorach lovi korachas. His definition of lovud is within four tvachim. So if it's within four tvachim, you don't have to bring another korah. Arba tzorach lovi korachas. If it's four tvachim though, that is his shiur of being disconnected. You'd need to bring another korah. V'chein, another scenario. Shnei koros hamatimos. Illustration 178. You can see this at the top of page 29 in the Pirush Chai. Two koros that are matimos means they're literally twins, but they're two narrow beams. Lo bezu kedei lekablo riach, v'lo bezu kedei lekablo riach. Neither one is wide enough to hold the brick. Therefore, im mekablois riach lerachboi tefach ein. If they can hold the korah in its width, as you can see in the illustration, the so that together they can hold the korah in its width of one tefach, then you don't need to bring or replace the korahs. V'im lav, if they're too far apart, then Tzorch lovi korah acheres. You'll have to bring a replacement korah. Rav Shimon Gamli Omer, im mekabeles oriach leorkoi shloisha, ein tzorch lovi korah acheres. Rav Shimon Gamli Omer's approach is to hold the korah in its length. In other words, the gap between the two thin beams can be wider. In other words, as long as if you were to turn the korah perpendicular to the beams, so that the length of the korah would sit between the two beams, then you don't have to bring another, the length of the oriach, that is, this the length of the brick, which measures three tfachim in length, then you don't have to bring a replacement korah. V'im lav, if the gap is greater, so that you wouldn't be able to fit the brick whose length is three tvachim, then you'd have to bring another korah. That's then tzorach lahavi korah cheres. The illustrations that you see in on the top of page 29, they feature the brick placed in its width. In other words, parallel the length of the brick is parallel to the length of the korah, so that it's sitting, the width is sitting between the two beams. Reb Shimon Gamliel has that particular brick turned perpendicular to the beams, enabling the gap to be greater, as we said. Now we continue with a new case, pictured in 181, again on page 29 of the Pirush Chai. Here there is a gap between these two thin beams, a height differential. Hoyu achas lemalo viachas lemata. These thin beams, one is above and one is below. Rabbi Yosi Rabbuda Omer Royin Esel Yoino Kiilu Hi Lemata. We view in your mind's eye the upper one as if it's lowered, ves hatachtona kilu hi lamala, and the lower one as if it's above. Ubuvad shalotehe elyoino lamala michof amo v'tachtoino lamato me'asora. This ability of viewing them as if they are together, that's provided that neither one of these thin beams is beyond the korah boundaries. In other words, the upper one should be no more than 20 amas from the floor, and the lower one should be no closer to the floor than 10 tfachim. Once they are within bounds, then we can view them as if they are together. Of course, this would be a continuation of that which we said before, that when it was once they're together, then they would be, they would have to be able to hold the brick according to the respective shitas. Omar Abaye, Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, he was the name we just saw underlined in the source, Sovar lo kavua b'chado polig ole b'chado. He agrees with his father, namely Rabbi Yehuda, on one point, but disagrees with him on another. Sovar lo kavua b'chado de'is le'royin. We saw Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah speak about a straw korah and being kosher, being acceptable because of royin. We view it as if it were made of metal. So the concept of royin, of imagining something to be something other than what it actually is, is something that Rabbi Yehuda, namely the father of Rabbi Yossi, to accept that concept. However, there's a point of disagreement between Rabbi Yossi and his father, and that has to do with the height issue. Upologale b'chado, the ilu Rabbi Yehuda sovar lemalo me'esrim. Rabbi Yehuda's korah boundary extended beyond 20 amos. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda sovar besoch esrim in lemalo me'esrim lo, and the son has the more restrictive boundaries. That is, like the Rabbanan, that it has to be within 20 amos. Beyond that, it's out of bounds. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rechovo, Afopi, She'eno, Bria. Rabbi Yehuda was of the opinion that the main consideration with regard to the Korah is that it has the dimension necessary, even if it is flimsy, it cannot hold the brick. Masni le Rav Yehuda l'chiyo barav kamei derav. This format we've seen earlier. It was quoted on Daf Beis, and also on the same Gemara from Daf Beis was quoted on Daf Yud Aleph, where Rav sees Rav Yehuda teaching Rav's son Chiya, and he taught him the following: Rechava afapi she'eino bria. The Korah must have the required width, even if it doesn't have the strength. Omale, so the father, Rav, that is, interjects and says, Asne Rechava Ubria, that it has to be wide and strong. The Gemara asks, Omar Rav Yuloi, Omar Rav, Rechava Arbo'o, Afopi She'eino Bria. So we see that Rav himself is quoted as saying that it should be four wide, even if it's not strong. So the Gemara answers that maybe that's true when it's that wide. Rechava arbo shiny. If it's four, it's fachim wide. So then Rav will compromise on the bria requirement. However, if you're dealing with something that is a tefach wide, then Rav feels that the girsa should be bria as well. In other words, rechava ubria. The Mishnah cited this example of a beam made of straw, and if it's according to Rabbi Yehuda, we view it as if it's mateches. The Gemara asks, "My komash malon? What is the point of this example in the Mishnah? The amrinon royin." Is it to tell me that we view it as if it is strong enough to hold the brick, even if it's just straw? In other words, this roin concept, is that what Kash is supposed to be telling us? Hainu hach. Well, that's the same as that which you taught in the Reisha, namely, Rechava afalpi she'eino bria. If it's wide, if the beam is wide enough, even if it doesn't have the strength to hold the brick, it's still kosher. So isn't that the same thing about the kash, the straw? It's not strong enough and yet it's okay. So the Gemara answers, Mahu detemo bemino amrinon, shelo bemino lo amrinon. I might have thought, had I not had the case of the straw, but I would have had just the case of a, let's say, a thin or a weak wooden beam, that when you're in the realm of wood, so there we would have this latitude of accepting something that's not strong enough, viewing it as if it were strong enough to hold the brick. Because I'm in the realm of material that has strength. This particular one is a weak piece of wood, but wood in general is material that has strength. So because of the fact that wood represents material that has strength, even if my piece of wood, my wooden beam is weak, we can allow it. However, shelo b'mina, if you're dealing with material that by its nature is weak, straw, for example, I would have thought without the Mishnah teaching the case of Kash that I can't, in my mind's eye, take material that there is, that none of it is strong enough to hold a brick, and then imagine it as if it's strong enough. Kamash Malon, the case of Kash, teaches me that even if you're in a realm of material that is not, by its nature, is not strong enough, we view it as if it is. Akuma, Roin, Oiso, Kiilu, Hi, Pshuta. We saw illustrations of Akuma already, illustration 173, when we were learning the Mishnah. So we say that we view it as if it's a straight beam. So the Gemara asks, Pshita, isn't this obvious? Once you introduce the idea of Roin, we already had examples of Roin where we imagine things as kosher or as they should be. So to here, why do I have to teach this? Answer, Komash Mon Kirebi Zera. The Chidush, the novel point, is in accordance with Rabbi Zera, Doma Rabbi Zera. Now, he has three cases. The Gemara will focus on which case is of primary importance in a couple of lines. So what does Rabbi Zera teach? Diagram or illustration 183. The Korah starts and it ends within the Mavui, but it has a bend in it. It bends outwards. As you can see illustrated, this curvature that extends outside the Mavui and then curves back in, as you can see. Another case, illustration 184. He besoch esrim va'ak mumiso lamalam esrim. He lamalo me'asora va'ak mumiso lamata me'asora. The same concept but reversed of what you saw in 184. You would just have a beam that's a bent beam with the curvature facing downwards, and that point of curvature is within 10 tfachim. It's lower than 10 tfachim. So, Royin, we evaluate. Kol she'ilu inotel ak mumisa. You have to, in your mind's eye, imagine that the curved part that's outside the acceptable boundaries was removed. Imagine it removed. The ein bein zeh lo zeh shlosha, and the gap between the korah that remains is less than three tvachim. Ein tzorch lahavi korah acheres. Then we don't require your bringing a replacement korah or an additional korah. The im lav, if the gap that remains is three tvachim, tzorch lahavi korah acheres. This is illustrated, this three tvachim idea, you can see in illustration 184. So if that shiur, if that distance is present of three tvachim or more, then you need to replace the korah. The Gemara asks, well, ha nami pshita. All of this is obvious. Is it not so that you were saying royin in these cases, that we view it as if? We've already established that that's something we accept. So the Gemara explains that case number one, which was illustration 183, is of greatest significance. That case I need to be taught. Without that, I would have thought, you know, this is a case of akuma. Let's emphasize that we're dealing with the bent korah, and in accordance with Rabbi Zeira, this is what the Mishnah is mechadesh. I might have thought that we won't allow 183 under any circumstances, even if the gap, even if that bend is within 3 tefachim, we still won't allow it because I might be drawn out of the mavui while carrying something, thinking that I've got a korah overhead. Komash Malon, the Mishnah is telling me, and with Rabbi Zera's explanation, that we're not choshesh for that. We're not worried about that happening. We continue. Agula royen oiso kilu hi merubas. This was accompanied by an illustration on page 28. Illustration 172, a rod which was serving as a beam, a rod being a term associated with something round or cylindrical. So we say, now, as is, it won't be able to hold a brick because of the round surface. So we say, Royan Oiso Ki Iluhi Mubas, we view it in our mind's eye as if it's square. And therefore, if it were square, so it would be able to hold the brake. The Gemara goes on, Hosu Lomali. It's another example of Royan, isn't it? So what do I need another example of that for? Answer, Seifa, it's the Richole. It's the continuation of the Mishnah that I need. I need to know how to calculate the kashrus of a round beam. And the way to calculate it is if it has a circumference of 3 tefachim, so I then know that it has a diameter of 1 tefach. There's a 3 to 1 ratio, circumference to the width or diameter. So that in your mind's eye, that round beam, as you can see illustrated in picture 172, the diameter, you can see there's a 1 with arrows showing you the diameter, and the result in your mind's eye, if you were to cut away the circular part, you would be left with, you can see the aleph in that diagram. That aleph has a width of 1 tefach. How do I know that? Because in measuring it, I got to 3 tochim. I mean, when measuring the circumference. Minohani mili, from where do we know this ratio? So interesting how the Gemara wants to find a scriptural source, a basis for this formula. Omer Yochanan, Omer Kra. Rabbi Yochanan cites a pasuk. The pasuk features a pool that was filled with water that was made by Shlomo HaMelech and was positioned in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. And from its dimensions, we will discover our ratio. Vayas es hayam mutzok eser ve'amo misfoso atzfoso agol saviv. There are quite a few numbers in this. So it says that Shlomo Melech made a molten pool. In other words, it was made of metal that was 10 amos from edge to edge. We'll say the width. There's a possible danger on our part of over-explaining or explaining things according to the way the final product results, because then it becomes hard to understand the Gemara's questions along the way. But we'll take our chances, so that the width of this pool measured 10 amos across. The Pasuk mentions that it was round, so that we can speak about a diameter of 10 amos across. There is reference to the pool having a height of 5 amos. And most importantly, the Pasuk refers to a circumference of 30 amos. So superficially, what you see is a diameter of 10, circumference of 30. You see there the 3-to-1 circumference to diameter ratio. The Gemara now asks detailed questions. When measuring the diameter, the assumption is, and we'll accept this explanation, that you're measuring the diameter of the airspace of the pool, not measuring the thickness of the pool's walls. So you measure the what's called the halal of the pool, getting to 10 amos. When measuring the circumference, the Gemara thinks that you drew a string around the outside of the pool. Now, in doing so there's a wall thickness that will be adding to the measure, if you will, or conversely, the actual inner circumference would be then less. If the outer circumference measured 30, so the inner circumference is less, and then you're altering this 3-to-1 ratio. Omar Rav Papa says, Rav Papa answers, Svaso Svas Perach Shoshan Ksiv Bey. The edge of this pool was very thin, and there's an illustration 186, so that the measure of the circumference was taken at that upper edge where it becomes very thin. The wall becomes very, very thin, like the edge of the petals of a flower. Dichtiv, the pasuk describes the pool and says, "V'avyoi tefach usvasoi kemaisis svas kois perach shushan alpayim bas yochil." Without getting into all of the points of the pasuk, it makes reference to this edge that's like a perach shoshan. The Gemara asks, "But still, v'hoiko mashehu? Still, if you're going to measure the circumference around that thin edge, but the thin edge." If you are insisting that the circumference diameter is a 3-to-1 ratio, that is going to alter it, because you have to take into consideration that mashu thickness, that albeit negligible amount, but it still increases the circumference measure. The Gemara answers that which might have been obvious to you all along is ki ka chashiv. It's what's illustrated in diagram 188, when the measure is taken of the circumference, migavoi kochoshiv. It was a measure of the inside, in the interior circumference. So we saw the interior diameter of 10, interior circumference of 30, and there you have your 3-to-1 ratio. Tanya, Reb Chia quotes a brisa, and there's a lot more information that we're going to see now about this pool. The brisa tells us that the pool that Shlomo HaMelech made contained 150 mikvos worth of water. Yam she'osu Shloimoi hoya machzik me'o v'chamishim mikvetara. We use this diamond simply to create a connection of, let's say, a topic connection, that we started off talking about the yam, and here we're featuring that same yam in this discussion. we will have to bear in mind some of the statistics we mentioned before as we continue in this mathematical section of Gemara. So the pool that he made, this yam, had the amount of water that would be contained in a 150 mikvois, the standard ritual bath. And now, how do you come, what do these numbers really mean? What do they translate into practicality? Practically speaking. Michti, mikveh kamahavi, a mikveh is how much? Answer, arboim sa'a. That's a measure. 40 sa'a, kidisanya, and the way we got to 40 sa'a is based on the pasuk, which says, berochatz b'mayim. And that tells me, b'may mikveh. The word b'mayim indicates water that is not flowing, it's connected water. The pasuk says, kol besoro. And from this we learn, mayim shekol gufoi oilot bohem, an amount of water in which a person's entire body can be immersed. V'kamohen, well, how much is that? Amo al amo barum sholosh amos. It's 3 cubic amos. It means it's 1 amo by 1 amo with a height of 3 amos. So it's 3 cubic amos. The Shiaru Chachomim may mikveh arboim saw. And once they established the 3 cubic amos, they Chachomim were able to calculate that as being the equivalent of 40 saw. So at stage 1, we've established that your standard mikveh is 3 cubic amos, which, as we said, 40 saw. Now, how do we go from that piece of information to the pool of Shlomo holding 150 times that amount? So we go through the Gemara step by step. There are suggestions and questions as we go along. Kamo hava lehu. When you look at the numbers 10 by 10 by 5, that we saw already, we said it measured 10, was the width of the pool, so we're going to say 10 by 10, and the pasuk made reference to a height of 5. We have an arrow that points you back to Omid Aleph toward the bottom of the page, and that is pointing to the line where these numbers were found in the pasuk. So if you take those numbers and multiply them, 10 by 10 by 5, what do you come out with? Naturally, you do 10 times 10 times 5. You come out with Chomesh Mea Garmidi. Garmidi means Amos. That would be illustrated in illustration 191. Height of 5, 10 by 10 gets you to 500 cubic Amos. Now, we take that number 500, realizing ahead of time that one mikveh is 3 cubic amos. We are told that in the Brice of Reb Chiya that the pool of Shlomo HaMelech held 150 mikvois. Well, right away, you would consider that if one mikveh is 3 cubic amos, then to get 150 mikvos, you'd have to have 150 times 3, 450 cubic amos. And yet, we're telling you that the pool had 500. So there's 500 cubic amos would contain more than than 150 mikvois. The Gemara now breaks down the number 500 into we'll call convenient numbers to translate the large number into mikvois. So you take the number 500 and go on. We continue in the Gemara. Letlas mea, 300 cubic amos yields mea, yields 100 mikvos. That should be fairly straightforward. If one mikveh is 3 cubic, so 300 cubic will be 100 mikvois. Lameo v'chamshin. Now, take 150 more cubic. We used up of the original 500. So far, we 300 accounted for 100 mikvois. 150 cubic amos equals chamishim, 50 mikvos, because 150 contains how many times 3? 3 cubic amos, how many times do you find 3 in 150? You find 50. So that accounts for 50 mikvos. So far, from the original 500, we've already gotten to 150 mikvos by using, we said 300 plus 150, that's 450. Therefore, the Gemara asks, Ba'arba mea v'chamshin sagi. 450 cubic amas is enough to get your 150 mikvos. And yet the pool of Shlomo HaMelech contained 500 cubic amas. So how does this figure in that which Reb Chiya said that the pool holds of only 150 mikvois? The Gemara says, Hani mili beribua. The 500 cubic amos that we started off with would be true if you were dealing with something that was square. In other words, we said 10 by 10 is a square measure, and then height 5 got you to 500. However, Yam Shosu Shlomo Ogul Hoya, the pool that he made was circular. A circle having a diameter of 10 is going to be, it's called an inscribed circle. You can see a quick picture of this from an aerial view, let's say in picture 192, you have a circle inscribed in a square. So naturally, the circle with diameter of 10 amos and height of 5 is going to contain less than 500 cubic amos. The Gemara says, okay, let's continue with our calculations. Michti, kamo merubo yeser al ho'igol. How much greater is a square than the circle? In other words, square with side 10, how much greater is it than circle with diameter of 10? And again, we can refer to picture 192. You can see the circle with the same diameter as the square's side is a smaller unit. So what's the differential? The Gemara answers, revi'a. It's a quarter, 25% smaller. So what we do is we are going to take the original 500 number and we're going to break it down to show you the smaller amount. You can see in our markings, we've dashed underlined numbers, la'arba mea and mea. So the arba mea is a number that we're taking off from the original 500. Take the number 400. And now it's easy to work with the number 400 and then reduce a quarter of that. So when you take 400, how many mikvos will you be able to produce from a quarter less than 400? Well, a quarter less than 400 is 300. How many mikvos do you get from that? Me'ah. That's what this is. Very, very terse. The Gemara here is very terse. But if you take 400, reduce it by a quarter, you can produce 100 mikvos, because 400 becomes 300. Now, remember, we were dealing with the original number of 500. We are breaking the 500 down into its parts. So we took care of 400 and produced 100 mikvos from that, because we went from 400, reducing it by 25%. Now, lemea, this dashed underline mea is a reference to the balance of 100 from the original 500, but now take that mea and reduce it by a quarter. So 25% less than 100 gives you 75. How many mikvos will 75 cubic amos produce? Well, one mikvah is 3 cubic, so 3 goes into 75 25 times. How many mikvos then have I produced from the original, from the 500, realizing that we were dealing with something circular? So here we have the numbers in front of us. We saw 100 and now 25. So I've produced 125 mikvos. But we were told there were 150. So the Gemara asks, Hani mea v'esrim v'chamisha havaluhu. This gives us only 125. But Reb Chiya said that I will have 150 mikvos from the Yam Shel Shlomo. So we see the question. My hope is that the Gemara, as terse as it may be, you realize what the Gemara was doing. We have a little chart that attempts to illustrate this. In the inside margin, you see the number 500, and then the numbers that you see in diamonds are numbers that were mentioned in the Gemara, so that from the original 500, the Gemara broke it into 400 and 100. The 400, though, had to be reduced by a quarter, and that we noted on this little diagram that we drew in. We noted, you can see Pochos Reva, that's written to the right-hand side of the diagram. So 400, when you subtract a quarter, you get to 300. And that produces the next number you see in a diamond, 100 mikvos. As we said, the numbers that are in diamonds are numbers that the Gemara featured. The Gemara also featured 100. That was after we accounted for the 400 from the original 500, we left with a balance of 100. Then you have to reduce that by a quarter. That got you to 75. And then how many mikvos will 75 produce? Produces 25 mikvos. That's where we're holding right now, where from the original 500, converting that into something circular or cylindrical, you're only going to have 125 mikvos, but Reb Chiya told me that I'm going to get 150. So the Gemara answers, Toni Romi Bar Yecheskel, Yam Shosa Shlomo Shlosh Amos Tachtoinos Merubois Ushtayim Elyoinos Agulos. Here the diagram is very helpful. 193. On page 30, you can see what was just described in this Tanaic source brought by Romi by Yecheskel, that the pool that Shlomo HaMelech made, the three of the five amos of height, the lower three amos were square, and the upper two amos were circular. And let's try to explain now how the calculations are to be made. Focusing on the bottom three amos, that's three amos of height, and it's a square, so it's going to measure 10 by 10. So 3 of height times 10 times 10 gets you to 300 cubic amos. That accounts for 100 mikvos. You can see we've written this information between the lines. What about the two upper amos of height? Now, if those two upper amos were square, it would measure 200 cubic amos. That was 2 by 10 by 10, but it's a circle. A circle is a quarter less. So take the number 200 and reduce it by 25%. What do you get to? You get to 150, because 50 is a quarter of 200. Subtract the 50 from the 200, you get to 150 cubic amos. How many mikvos are in 150 cubic? 50. Each mikveh is 3. So you divide the number 150 by 3, you get to 50 mikvos. So the bottom 3 amos accounted for 100. The upper 2 amos account for 50. Total of 150 mikvos. That's what Reb Chiya was talking about. So Reb Chiya was referring to diagram 193. Gemara asks, Nehi de'ibcha loy motzis amris. Granted that you cannot say that the bottom part of the pool was round and the upper part square. Disvosoi agol ksiv. The pasuk says that the rim was circular. So I know the upper part of the pool was circular. Elohim ochado. Maybe the circular part of the pool was only one amo of height and not two amos of height. Where do we know that the pool measured, as we said in the Brisa of Rami Bar Yecheskel, that the upper two amos, the uppermost two amos, or the two uppermost amos, were circular? Maybe only the last or the uppermost one amo was circular. And if that would be the case, once again, I would have more than 150 mikvos. Lo salka daitoch. No, don't even think that. Dichtiv. The posuk says regarding the pool of Shlomo, alpayim bas yochil. And this phrase, we saw in the Gemara on Omid Aleph. Was actually the second line from the bottom. We saw this quote. It says that the pool contained 2,000 bas. Bas is a measure. Bas kamohavya. What is a bas? So in other words, what is a more familiar measure? Bas is uncommon. It's a word found in a pasuk. So what is it equal to in our terms? Answer, shalosh so'im. One bas is 3 saw. Dichtiv, and how do I know that? Well, because there's a pasuk that says, Master Abbas minakur, which means that a kur, we know, measures 30 saw. The pasuk is telling me that in a kur, which is 30 saw, you've got 10 bas. So if in 30 kur you have 10 bas, and we know that a kur measures 30 saw, let's say this again, one kur, and we've written these numbers in between the lines, one kur is 30 saw, a bas, there are 10 bas in a kur. That tells me then that there are 3 saw in a bas. Basically, what you're saying is you take 1/10 of 30 saw, and that will give you a bas. 1/10 of 30 is 3 saw. Now, how much was in the pool? We just were told that the pool contained 2,000 bas. One bas is 3 saw. So 2,000 bas is 2,000 times 3. The Havilahu, the Gemara says, Shiso Alfi Grivi. 2,000 bas equals 6,000 saw. If that be the case, the last step is not spelled out here, but it should be simple enough. We know that a mikveh contains 40 saw. You do Now, how many times does 40 go into 6,000? 6,000 saw. The answer to that is 150. That's 150 mikvois. So that when the pasuk tells me that the pool held 2,000 bas, it's basically telling me that the pool held 150 mikvois, and that necessitates our measuring the pool as we did. The upper two amos were circular, and the bottom three amos were square. The Gemara asks, "V'hok siv machzik botim shloishes alofim," but a parallel pasuk says that the pool held 3,000 bas, not 2,000. You'll notice our dashed underlining is helpful. If you compare here the shloishes to the dashed underlined alpayim, just two lines up, you see the problem. This pasuk is saying that the pool held a third more than we originally said. The Gemara answers, Hahu l'goydsha. Illustration 194. Both psukim are correct. The pool, when filled with liquid, would hold 2,000 bas. If that same pool were filled with, let's say, grains, you would be able to pile over the edge another amount, another 1,000 bas in this case. That is what the Shloishes Alofim figure is referring to. It's referring to the amount the pool could have held had it been filled with dry matter. Omar Abaye, Shma Mino, Hai Gutsho, Tloso, Havi. Abaye says, from this we see that the Godesh is the heaping element, is another third. It's another third, meaning from the you take the new number, and then the Godesh accounts for one third of the new amount. Utna Nami, we have a Tanaic source that points this called statistic out. The source is coming from the realm of Taros, of vessels and their ability or inability to become Tomei. It says, Shido Teva Umigdal, Kaveris Akash, Kaveris Akonim, Ubor Sfina Alexandris. We don't have to explain what each one of these things are. They are all types of, we'll call them, boxes or vessels that are containers. So all of these different vessels are containing vessels. Afalpi Shiesh Lohem Shulayim, even though they have a bottom to it, in other words, they can hold something. Vehein machzikos arboim sa'a balach, shein kurayim biyovesh tahoyrin. Since they are very large, the halacha that this source is telling us that a vessel that contains 40 sa'a is not mekabel tuma. But in this source, it tells us 40 saw of liquid, which is 60 saw of dry. So there you go to that Godesh concept, accounting for an additional third. When you go from 40 to 60, I'm adding 20. 20 vis-a-vis the new sum total of 60, 20 represents a third. We continue with the Mishnah. L'chayayin shamru, the lechi that we've spoken about. The word l'chayayin is the word lechi in plural. L'chayayin shamru, goivon asorot tfochim. Height, 10 tfochim. Ruchavon, the uvion kolshu. Their width and thickness of the lechi pole is negligible. Rabbi Yosemir, ruchavon gimol tfochim. Rabbi Yosi's shita is it has to be three. It has to be a board measuring 3 tfachim, or a pole with a diameter of 3 tfachim. The Gemara, focusing on the first word of the Mishnah, L'chayayin Shamru, Leimo Tnan Stamo Karebi Eliezer. Should we say that we have an unnamed Mishnah, which is called a Stam Mishnah? A Stam Mishnah carries weight in the formulation or the resolving of final halacha. So should we say that we have a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Eliezer, to Omar Lechoyayin Bo'inon. Shitas Rabbi Eliezer, as we've seen in the past, says that you need to have two lechis at the entrance to an alley, to a movui. Our Mishnah says Lechoyayin, the lechis in the plural. So it sounds like our Mishnah is supporting his point of view. Loi, don't conclude that. My Lechoyayin. What is L'chayayin in our Mishnah? L'chayayin de'almo. It means the general realm of lechis is such that its height, the height of an individual lechi, should be 10 tefachim. Ihachi kaira nami nisni kairos. Then if that be the same, then when the Mishnah discusses the korah, and it says it gives you the details of a korah, the Mishnah that we saw at the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Beis, it said in the singular, HaKoros She'amru. Should it not have said then Koros in the plural, Koros She'amru? Why the imbalance in the grammar between, when dealing with Lechis, it presents the Lechis in the plural, and you say it's referring to the world of Lechis, to the general topic of lechis, so shouldn't grammatically the same situation appear when dealing with the korah, the beam, the cross beam? Let's read that line again. Ihachi korah nami nisni. It should teach in the Mishnah at the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Beis, koros umai koros, and then explain what do you mean by koros when an individual movui needs only one kora. Why the plural koros? The almose refers to the realm of koros. The Gemara answers hachi ko'amar. When dealing with lechi, namely our Mishnah, thusly you should understand it. Oison lechoyayin shenechliku bohen Rabbi Eliezer v'chachamim. The lechis over which Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim argued, Rabbi Elazar saying you need two of them, the Chachamim saying you need only one, goivon asara tfachim verochbon veovion kol shehu. The size of those lechis that they argued about is a height of 10 and thickness of a negligible amount. The kama kol shehu, when you say a kol shehu, which means a small amount, how much is that? Tony Rabbi Chia filu kechut asarbal. Even if it's like the string of a tunic, you can see an illustration of a chut asarbal in illustration 195. Tana, also lechi lechatzi mavui. Look at illustration 196 in the Pirush Chai at the bottom of page 30. You see a lechi positioned inwards, halfway into a movui. So the source says, also lechi lechatzi movui, ein loy elo chatzi movui. If you put the pole up halfway into the movui, then all you have is half the movui in which to carry, the inner half. The Gemara says, pshita, it's obvious that ein lo, that he doesn't have the outer half. Elo emo, rather say it like this, yesh lo chatzi movui, that he does have the inner half in which to carry. The Gemara says, well, honami pshita, that's also obvious. The Gemara says, no, that's not so obvious that he does get the inner half to carry in. Without being taught this, I might have thought that we should suspect maybe even if he puts the lechi halfway in, he'll come to use the whole movui, and that would be forbidden. Komash molon, that we're not choshesh for that. We don't worry about that. If he puts the lechi up halfway in, we do give him, in the positive, we grant him the rights to carry up till the halfway mark from the back wall of the movui till the pole, till the lechi. Omar Rava, and we should point out, we didn't read it earlier, but we had a topic heading on the side in which we featured a series of different halachas that the Gemara will be dealing with. So if we look at that topic heading, the Nosei, we've written there in Yonei Lechi, the first point we've discussed Mispar Lechayin Deblinin, how many lechis do you need, and we saw that was a Machlokes Tanoim.
shiur lechi, the size of a lechi. We also saw that was subject of a discussion, either a kolshu. We saw Rabbi Yossi saying three tvachim. Third point, lechi sha'oimed shahu amad b'chatzi mavui. That's the most recent point we discussed. Lechi set up halfway in. And number four, this is the point we're going to see very shortly, lechi shigbiu shloshet tvachim min hakarka or hiko min hakoistel shloshet tvachim. A lechi that was positioned above the ground by three tvachim. You can see this illustrated in 197. Or a lechi that was distanced from the wall by three tvachim. The idea of distancing from the wall is, there is, the illustration 198 shows some aspect of that, but let us continue in the Gemara. Omar Rava, also lechi lamovui vigbio minakarka shlosha. He made a lechi and raised it from the ground, as you saw in 197. In illustration 197, in the Pirush Chai, he elevated it three tefachim. Oy shehifligoy min hakoisel shlosha lo osa v'lo klum. He has accomplished nothing. In other words, this would be a totally ineffective lechi. V'afilu l'Rav Shimon Gamliel, d'omar amrinon lovud. Even according to Shimon Gamliel, who we have seen already saying that lovud is up till four tefachim. Love would mean something attached. So that he said that up till four tefachim, if you're within four tefachim, you are considered attached. Not so over here. Even Reb Shimon Gamliel will agree here in the with regard to this elevated or distanced pole, it's ineffective. Hani mili lamala. This idea of up till four tefachim being considered lovud is when you're dealing with a space that is lamala, that is above. We saw that in the case of the korah, the beam that extended from one wall and didn't quite reach the next wall. But that was a space that was overhead. Aval lamata, but when you're dealing with a gap that is concerns the floor, kevon dahavio mechitza shagdoyim boikinbo, since it represents a mechitza, a wall, or a, even though we're dealing with a lechi, which is a pole, but it represents a wall, so it, we can classify it as a mechitza, that gidoyin, which are goats or kids, they poke in both, they penetrate it, as we saw illustrated earlier. Lo ka'omar, and even Rav Shimon Gamliel will not apply the lovud statistic, very simply because it's an ineffective mechitza. Because of the ability of the gedi to penetrate it. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rechavon Shloisha Tvachim. As we go on in the Gemara, you'll notice that we have Roman numerals 1 and a 2 a few lines later. There are two versions of what we are about to learn. On the side, under the Nosei heading, we have Im lifsok k'Rabbi Yossi, like the issue is, should we paskin like Rabbi Yossi? Number one, bilo choyayin, that you need, the boy shnayim, you need two. And number two is a topic that's not relevant to Maseches Erevin, but it's b'hachonas ilmi b'Shabbos, the preparation of hilmi on Shabbos. Now hilmi, we learned in Maseches Shabbos, has to do with the preparation of salt water on Shabbos. So now the Gemara. Omar Rav Yosef, Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, Ein Halacha K'Rav Yossi Lo Behilmi V'Lo B'Lo Chayayin. We will not follow the ruling of Rav Yossi with regard to Hilmi preparation, nor with regard to his opinion regarding the Lechi. Now, the opinion regarding the Lechi is the need for a three Tefach Lechi. So we don't need that, according to this. In terms of Psak Halacha, Omar le Rav Huna bar Chinuna. So Rav Huna says to Rav Yosef, "Behilmi amrislon. In Hilmi, you told us that Halacha is not like Rav Yossi. Belochayayin lo amrislon. But regarding the lechi, you didn't tell us that." So there appears to be a response. Maishna behilmi. the pligi rabbanon alei. In other words, you don't need to be told explicitly about the lechi. Once you know, once you were told that the hilmi, the halacha, is not like Rabbi Yossi, and why is that? Because the pligi rabbanon alei, the rabbanon, disagree. They represent a majority opinion, and that will overrule Rabbi Yossi. L'chayayinami, pligi rabbanon alei. Regarding the lechi issue, you can see the rabbanon argue with him, so it's obvious that the halacha will not be like Rabbi Yossi, so that even though you're not told, you weren't told explicitly, you could have concluded that on your own. Omar Lei. So apparently Rav Huna responds and says, I wouldn't have been able to conclude that on my own. Shaini l'chayayin. The case of the lechi is different insofar as Rabbi Yossi is not a lone voice, or he's not such a minor or singular opinion. Mishum dekoi Rebbe kavosei. We know that Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi holds like Rabbi Yossi, giving that opinion more significance. So, if you're going to tell me that the halacha is not like Rabbi Yossi regarding Hilmi preparation on Shabbos, that might be fine and good. I don't know necessarily that the halacha is not going to follow Rabbi Yossi when it comes to Lechi. After all, Rabbi Yossi's opinion by Lechi is backed up by Rebbe. Rav Rechumi Masni Hochi. And here's a second version. Omer of Yehuda braid Rav Shmuel bar Shilas Mishmei Darav. Ein halacha k'Rav Yossi lo behilmi v'lo b'chayayin. Omer le Amris. So he said back to him, did you say that? Omer lohu lo. No, I didn't say that. Omer Ravo Elokim. Elokim is an expression of oath. Omra v'gamirna lo mine. He did say it, and I learned it from him. Umay taima kohodarbe. So why did he retract? Why did he deny having said that ein halach Rabbi Yossi b'hilmi v'lo b'l'chayin? Answer. Mishum de Rabbi Yossi nimuko imo. When it comes to halachas of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi always gives reasons for his halachic rulings. And the Gemara in Gittin that Rashi quotes praises Rabbi Yossi for this style of learning, where he always gives the reasons that are often reasons of depth and it's a great logic, and as a result of that, there's a tendency to to paskin like Rabbi Yossi. So to come out with a ruling like that, well, the halacha is not going to follow Rabbi Yossi, the Hilmi, and nor by Chayim, it's not such an easy thing to say, and hence when put on the spot, he retracted and denied having said that the halacha is not like Rabbi Yossi. And why would he deny having said that? As we pointed out, because when it comes to Rabbi Yossi, nimuko imo. As we continue in the Gemara, we have a topic heading with a structural note. On the side of the Gemara, we have called this tatnosei, a subtopic, with a mivneh, the structural note, where we feature a diamond. So what we've written is psak shel pok chozi mai ama debar shnei lishonos. There's a psak halacha that in order to resolve an issue, you'll see the response that says go out, poke is go out, and chozi, go see mai ama debar. Debar means how it means to conduct oneself. Mai ama debar means how do the people conduct themselves? What's their minig? And once you see what people do, then you'll know how to resolve the halacha. Now, on the face of things, this is sounds like a very dangerous thing. In other words, in order to resolve halacha, just go and see what people do. Who says that what people do is the right thing? So we must qualify that this is a very rare phenomenon in the Shas, of coming to resolutions based on the common practice. And this comes up when you have a machlokes, when there's something, a machlokes that was never resolved per se. There are two legitimate approaches, and you want to know which one to adopt. So in very specific cases, the Gemara says, go and see how people conduct themselves. But one should not, say, heaven forbid, one should not use this as a method in general of solving issues of halacha. In other words, where the Gemara says it, that's where you can use it. But beyond that, don't apply this ever on your own. The Gemara. Omar le Rova bar Rav Chanan Labai. Hilchisa mai. What is the halacha regarding the lechi? We saw in the Mishnah, we saw the mashihu idea, and we saw Reb Yossi, and after praising Reb Yossi till this point, the Reb Yossi Nimukoimo, well, what should we do? After all, Reb Yossi carries a great deal of halachic weight. So what should we do? Omalei, so Abaye says, poke chozi mai amadabar. Go out and see how the people conduct themselves. And Rashi adds, the oilum is noyig, the community practices the lechi mashu idea, the more lenient approach of having a pole that's even of a negligible size. Iko demasni lo aho. There is another lashon, another version that teaches this ruling of poke chozi mayam adbar regarding something else, something totally unrelated. This is a topic that is relevant to Maseches Brachos. Hasheisen mayim litzomoy, a person who drinks water because he is thirsty. Rashi points out, as opposed to someone who drinks water to clear a bone from his throat, or possibly drinking water for the sake of taking a pill that otherwise one would find impossible to swallow. So he's drinking the water for a reason other than quenching of thirst. Here we're talking about someone who is drinking water because of thirst. Omer shakol nia bidvaro, the brocha that he would recite is the brocha that most of us are familiar with. Baruch ato Hashem elokeinu melecholam, shakol nia bidvaroi. Rabbi Tarfon omer, borei nefoshes rabbis v'chesroinon al kol ma'ashe boroso. And without getting into too much the controversy, so to speak, Rashi understands that Rabbi Tarfon is referring to the opening bracha. Because, again, many of us are familiar with this text of Borei Nefoshes Rabbos as the final bracha. But that's not what's under discussion as far as the pshat that Rashi accepts. So what we see here is a machloikis. What is the opening bracha for drinking water? Tanakama says shakol. Rabbi Tarfon says bari nefoshes. Well, omar le Rav Chanan Labaye. Here in this lashon, it's not the son of Rav Chanan, but it's Rav Chanan himself asks Abaye, hilchisomai, what is the way to follow? What should we practice? Omar le Abaye says poke chozi mai amadabar. Go out and see what people do. And based on common practice, that is what you should follow. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.